As a parent, you always want to set your child up for success. So when they're struggling in school or they need help with homework, you try your best to step up. But sometimes you might not be equipped to answer. And it's better to leave that to the experts from IXL Learning. IXL Learning is an online learning program for kids. It covers math, language arts, science, and social studies. IXL can help your child really understand and master topics in a fun way with positive feedback. Powered by advanced algorithms, IXL gives the right help to each kid, no matter the age or personality. And when you sign up, one subscription gets you everything you need for all the kids in your home, from pre-K to 12th grade. IXL is used in 95 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S., with 1 in 4 students across the country using the program. So don't wait any longer. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLLearning.com/audio. Visit IXLLearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
All right, parents, it's back to school time, and I've got a secret for you. There's a drama-free way to make vitamins part of your kids' morning routine. Little Critters Gummy Vitamins. You see, my kids think they're just eating fun, delicious gummy bears, but little do they know, they're getting essential nutrients for their health and development.
Mom, we know they're vitamins.
As I was saying, kids absolutely love, and apparently know, these are vitamins. Little Critters is the pediatrician-recommended kids' multivitamin gummy brand, and the yummy way to start the school year.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Man, I tell you, I could listen to Neil Peart playing the drums all day long. The guy was just an amazing drummer. And the stuff he would do with the cymbals on the offbeat, I mean, just stuff that you just don't see drummers doing, man. It's really a thing of beauty when he's in was in full flight. The world is a lesser place for his passing, but the world is a greater place because Bernie Miklas is back on KMOX where he belongs. And I can tell you, I'm just absolutely delighted to be joined by Bernie Miklas. Hey, Bernie, how's it going out there, big boy?
I'm fired up, man. It's a Friday. Yep. Life is good. Got a lot of football to watch the next couple days. I would assume I'll be having some really good food and who knows, maybe a beverage or two.
It's been known to happen, Bernie.
That's right.
You're a football guy. I remember. So we're going to get to sports here in a little bit, but I'm really fascinated by your career. So you started out covering the Baltimore Colts back in the day.
I did. I was a young pup.
Right out of school, I guess, right? Pretty much?
Pretty much, yeah.
So you're covering the Colts. Robert Irsay packs him up, moves him out of town, and that's probably what precipitated your traveling to St. Louis.
It was a big factor because I wanted to continue my NFL writing career because, you know, in those days where you're that young and you have a chance to do that as a beat writer because, you know, it's kind of prestigious. It's a path I wanted to follow. And so, I got an offer from the Post-Dispatch. I always liked coming to St. Louis. It seemed like a kind of an easy decision. It's never fun to leave home, my parents and everything, but it worked out great, and they were supportive. So, yeah, I get here, and I was the beat writer for 3 years, and then you know what happened after that, right?
So you got here, what, in 84?
85, yeah.
Yeah, and the Cardinals, in those years, Vysicka and him, I'm running those kicks back. I remember Neil Lomax behind center of those teams. And, you know, the Cardinals, they had that period of glory in the mid-70s where they were really good, but they never could quite get to the next level. But that was awesome. And, you know, so you're here, you're working at the Post-Dispatch. When I was a young guy in high school and college, so I would have been just in college when you got here. I wanted to be a journalist, and I was the editor of the school paper in high school. I was in the journalism school at Mizzou, and I really had a passion for newspapers. So I spent a lot of time, you know, shadowing and interning in the Post-Dispatch newsroom in those days. It doesn't exist anymore. But the Post-Dispatch newsroom in those days was a really special place. Take me back there to the late 80s, early 90s, and what it was like working in that kind of an environment.
It was just a bustling place. It's almost kind of like something out of an old movie, you know, where you hear, you know, typewriters clacking and, you know, you hear laptop and PC keys. And but people just rushing around and, you know, this real sense of urgency, or else they're, you know, there's people like 20 people on the phone at one time and they're interviewing people. And there's just, it's just a hub of activities, just a beehive. And when I first got to the Post-Dispatch, the funny thing about this, I've been around long enough to where I sort of caught the end of an era. And what I mean by that, you're in a newsroom, right? Think about this today, right? You're in a newsroom, and this is true of all newsrooms and newspapers at that time. I mean, half the people in the newsroom, and it's a lot of people, half of them are smoking. You got people lighting up cigars. It was kind of like, you got to be kidding me to think back at that now. And I would work late at night sometimes, and this was true in Baltimore too, and I swear to you, so the shift would end. It'd be some of the copy editors, these old grizzled guys mostly. You know, they'd reach into the drawer, they'd pull out a bottle of scotch or bourbon you know, sitting right there at the desk. Can you imagine people doing that now? Forget about it. Never happened. They probably get suspended or fired, right?
Well, it probably happens in Congress.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. It just seems, though, and the colorful characters that make up the folks that are in the business, the newspaper business. And it's not just the reporters. It's everybody. It's an interesting collection of humanity in there, huh?
People hollering and just carrying on. And, you know, you'd hear arguments breaking out, you know, not fights, but arguments. No, man. You know, in my final years in the newspaper business, I would always be sad because you go to the Post-Dispatch, and I love that place dearly. I still do. But you go there and it just would be empty. I mean, there's just hardly anybody in the newsroom. There wasn't any hustle and bustle. The reporters who were there were working their tails off and really honoring their profession. But with cutbacks and everything else, it was like kind of a sterile, quiet place. And it was kind of a bummer for someone like me who got in at the end of the way it used to be.
Yeah, no, that's cool stuff. Have you ever written any books?
No.
Really?
It sounds self-serving because I'm patting myself on the back. I'm too busy to write a book. Yeah. I'm serious. I just do so much. The Post-Dispatch put out a collection of columns that did pretty well.
Right.
And, you know, I've signed about a million of those through the years. But no, I would like to write a book because I really do have incredible stories. I mean, just crazy, crazy stories about my career, including, you mentioned, you know, I was covering the Baltimore Colts and they moved. Then I come to St. Louis, cover the football Cardinals. Then they move. Yeah. Right. And then I went to Dallas for a little while, came back to St. Louis, and then the Rams moved here, and then the Rams moved. I'm like 1-3 in franchise transfers,
kiss
right?
Of death, this guy is.
1-3. Wow. I mean, how many people have actually covered, been a beat writer or columnist, like for 4 NFL moves? That's just kind of nuts, isn't it?
Yeah, that's quite a claim to fame right there, big boy.
I don't know if I like the outcome, but at least we got one in here for a while.
But you actually love writing, right? I mean, it's
I do.
Passion. So, how many columns a week were you putting out back in the day?
You know, I would write 5 times a week, but, you know, I'm kind of a fanatic, and I love to write, and I also fancied myself to be just like in the spirit of Bob Burns and Bob Briggs, and guys wrote every day.
It's right.
None of this like, well, you know, hey, you just write 3 columns a week, and you take your – no. I'm going to pump them out every day, and I tell you what, there was a time where I was the only sports columnist per se.
Oh, yeah.
And I would write sometimes, you know, 7-8 columns a week. I'd double up on some days. So
ever deal with block?
Oh yeah, yeah.
I always
my trick, it's not a trick because I think it's pretty common. What I would do is I would just start writing something. Like I wouldn't start at the top. I knew I'd have to get in some details, whether it be, well, you know, the problem is when the middle innings, they're not pitching very well, this and that and this and that. And you get in the flow and then you go back at the top where you really want to make it snappy and you really want to make it good. And by the time you're starting to just fill in some things, writing just to write, and then your blood gets going, your blood flows, and then you're ready. Your brain's activated. Then you can actually start crafting it.
Have you always been a numbers guy?
Yeah, always, even as a kid. My family, big Polish family, original Baltimore Colts season ticket holders. I mean, I have a bunch of Polish a bunch of Polish uncles, great uncles, cousins, you name it. My father, my grandfather. I was the kid that would sit there with the rosters, and I'm like 7-8 years old, And I'm telling them, like, I'd hear one of my uncles say, well, who is that? Who's that guy? And I'd say, that's Charlie Stukes, number 47. He went to this college. Yeah, you know, yeah. I was like one of those. I was one of those kids, you know, and I would come home. I've told this story the way it started for me. My father and I, he would drive us home from a Colts game, and I'd go into my bedroom and I would write a little story about the game and hand it to him.
Mm.
And I mean, and again, we're talking about I'm like 8, 9 years old at the time, you know? So that I had the bug early.
Well, and it's, you know, and you're gifted. You're particularly gifted in this area. And so it develops at a young age. Is it people that, you know, if you're great on the violin, it develops at a young age. And so it's nothing. Hard work can take you, obviously, very far in any pursuit, but there's no substitute for God-given ability. And I think that's, that's how I view what you do, always have. And loved reading your columns, you know, all of those years.
Thank you. Thank you.
And it's just so delightful to have you back here on KMOX. Let me ask you this before we take a break here. Johnny
sure.
Unitas. So I've always thought that Johnny Unitas, I mean, he's a great quarterback, but I've always felt that, I don't know, he's a little underrated by the people who studied the game. Do you buy that or not so much?
Well, he's underrated in the context of how we view quarterbacks now, because when he played, it was just a different game in terms of, first of all, the quarterback calling his own plays, changing plays all the time. But also quarterbacks weren't obsessed with throwing an interception. I mean, it was a looser game. It was like, hey, if John Unitas thought he could get a pass in there, he'd go for it. So guys of that era were great, great quarterbacks, but there wasn't this emphasis on efficiency.
Mm-hmm.
Like if you could make a play, make a play. So people will look at some of the old timers and they'll see the interception totals and they'll say, those guys weren't that good. No, those guys were great. It was just a different kind of game then. And the other part too is that the league changed its rules in the late 70s to open up the passing game. Your offensive linemen could put their hands on defensive linemen. Your cornerbacks, your defensive backs could no longer bang on receivers all the way down the field.
Yeah.
So the game became a lot easier to pass the ball in. And Johnny U, man, he invented the two-minute drill. He was a scientist in terms of pass routes. I mean, just meticulous, detailed, fearless guy. And, one of the great leaders in the history team sports. So I think in the context that, you know, people will look at the stats now or this or that and say, I think we tend to forget about John Unitas. I'm looking at an autographed helmet as I sit here in my office.
Wow.
John Unitas.
That
so you bring cool. him up. I love it.
Yeah, Johnny U, man. Well, I tell you, we're going to come back and talk a little more sports. I'm sitting in here the other day with Duranji and I are talking to you. And my phone goes off and I get a text. It's my lovely wife, Bernie. And she says, the air conditioner just died. And I thought,
maybe
you know something about that.
I sure do, because Saliga Heating and Cooling, they've been taking care of the Miklases for more than 15 years, at least. And they've been there for us through emergencies, through many crises, when we need equipment replaced, even to check on our heating and cooling to make sure everything's okay, a maintenance program that I would highly recommend. They'll come out before the summer starts to check your AC. They'll come out before the fall and winter to make sure your heating is functioning properly. And they've been doing this since 1927. I love family businesses because I came from a family that had a business, and everybody works at it. And Dan Saliga, he's the fourth generation owner who has been doing this in this family since 1927. They've been doing this nearly 100 years. So, you know, the credibility is there. You know, the trustworthiness is there, and they have a tradition to uphold. And Dan Saliga is proud of the business, and all he wants to do is live up to the reputation and make it better and better. And it's an independent American Standard heating and air conditioning dealer. So you got that going for you too. And of course, American Standard heating and air is the gold standard of that. So they can help you in any way you like. If you have an emergency, don't worry. They'll get people out to you as soon as they can. They're very diligent. They're very trustworthy. They're very honest. It's been a pleasure dealing with them as clients, as customers for 15 years. You go to SaligaHeatingandCooling.com. That's SaligaHeatingandCooling.com. And the phone number, 314-481-7333, 314-481-7333.
man, I'm just digging this rush today. It's John Hancock in for Dave Glover. Dave will be back here in his regular seat at his regular time on Monday afternoon. Honored to be joined right now by KMOX's own Bernie Miklas. So the Cardinals wrapping up their final homestand of the season. We've got the Cleveland Guardians in town. I want to talk about next year. So they've got some real decisions to make this offseason, Bernie, and not the least of which is Paul Goldschmidt. What do you see there?
Well, it's a heck of a question. You know, I'm going to like flip it around a little bit in this vein. I think a lot of it has to do with what Paul Goldschmidt wants, because I was looking at the potential free agent list at first base, and it's a pretty lean market. I mean, you're going to have Pete Alonso, a couple other guys. But my point being, you know, Goldie's hit pretty well for the last couple months. If the Cardinals want to bring him back, I would have to believe they'd want to do it on a one-year deal for limited money. I mean, I don't know how to estimate. Maybe not to $10 million is limited money, but in the baseball context, it is. But he might have a chance to sign on with someone else for, like, more length of contract and more money. And he should. He hasn't won a World Series. He's still probably dreaming of that. So I would say my expectation is he would move on. Mm-hmm. And so we'll see. But they've got a lot of work to do. I mean, a lot of work to do. Their offense this year just so bad. And I think it's the reason why they didn't make the playoffs, because their pitching, I'm not saying it was great.
Fine.
But
it was
they were solid enough. The bullpen was outstanding. But this offense repeatedly let them down. They had so many games this year where they scored three runs or less or two runs or less. And they were in good shape right after the All-Star break, where they were within 3.5 games of Milwaukee. And they actually had a wild card spot at that point. And the offense just crashed. I mean, it just ran out of gas. And that's way too early to run out of gas. Because if that offense had performed, I think we'd be looking at the standings wondering if they get a wild card spot now. But they didn't have a chance. The offense just was too bad to overcome.
Well, it really boils down to the middle of the order. You know, one of the things that curious to get your thoughts on this, but we got two guys, very similar kind of guys, high on base percentage, a little bit of pop, hit pretty well, in Brendan Donovan and Lars Nootbaar, a couple of left-handed batters. One of them's hitting fifth and the other's hitting seventh. And those are bats, you the kind of players I think you would want to have higher up in the batting order, right?
I think so. And I wonder about that kind of stuff too. And I wonder why, they didn't take the advantage of the fact that you can take advantage of not really being in the race, because you can concentrate on some other things. I don't understand why, like, Victor Scott didn't stay up here. I think he's got a lot of upside offensively. I would have liked to have seen him getting some at-bats. I love the way Ciani plays defense. Don't get me wrong. Much respect for him. But I don't think he's going to hit in the big league. Scott's got a chance to be a good hitter. So the fact that, you know, let's see a platoon late in the season. Let's have Luke and Baker play against every right-handed starter. Things like that. I do appreciate the fact that Ali Marmol is always trying to, like, get his offense realigned in terms of the lineup construction. But when you have a season where, you know, your two older stars have gone into decline and their numbers are way down, and then the two guys you were counting on in a very, very big way, Nolan Gorman and Jordan Walker, to be the next generation stars, and they both just kind of metaphorically speaking went off the cliff this year. Those two things with those four players, that's hard to overcome.
30 seconds left. Who's the top line starting pitcher that we might see here next year?
I'd love to say Corbin Burnes, but I don't think that's going to happen. My expectations are kind of low regard, John.
Logan Gilbert look awfully good in a Cardinal uniform.
He would. Hey, how about Blake Snell? Right.
Yeah, I'll take it. That's Bernie Miklas. Thanks so
John,
much,
John. Thanks.
Joining us.
Thank you, John. I always enjoy talking to you, man.
All right, thanks, partner. We'll be back after this on KMOX.
As a parent, you always want to set your child up for success. So when they're struggling in school or they need help with homework, you try your best to step up. But sometimes you might not be equipped to answer. And it's better to leave that to the experts from IXL Learning. IXL Learning is an online learning program for kids. It covers math, language arts, science, and social studies. IXL can help your child really understand and master topics in a fun way with positive feedback. Powered by advanced algorithms, IXL gives the right help to each kid, no matter the age or personality. And when you sign up, one subscription gets you everything you need for all the kids in your home, from pre-K to 12th grade. IXL is used in 95 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S., with 1 in 4 students across the country using the program. So don't wait any longer. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLLearning.com/audio. Visit IXLLearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Nore Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nore Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Nore.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
All right, parents, it's back to school time, and I've got a secret for you. There's a drama-free way to make vitamins part of your kids' morning routine. Little Critters Gummy Vitamins. You see, my kids think they're just eating fun, delicious gummy bears, but little do they know, they're getting essential nutrients for their health and development.
Mom, we know they're vitamins.
As I was saying, kids absolutely love, and apparently know, these are vitamins. Little Critters is the pediatrician-recommended kids' multivitamin gummy brand, and the yummy way to start the school year.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.